أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد هل أتاك حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود بل الذين كفروا في تكذيب والله من ورائهم محيط بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ صدق الله العظيم.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته Respected ulama, elders, brothers and young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We hear time and again announcements in the masajid during the talks of our respected ulama, we read the same thing in authentic, reliable books authored by God-fearing ulama, that the success of this world and the hereafter lies in following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our success and the success of the whole humanity, success of everyone living on the surface of this universe, lies in following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our tablighi brothers who toil day in and day out, who strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in trying to bring people nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before every talk make this announcement. Our ulama during the course of their lectures also convey the same message. And there is no difference of opinion amongst any individual of the Ummah in regard to this statement. Our success, my success as an individual, our success as the Ummah, our success of this world, my success of this world, our success in the life hereafter and my success in the life hereafter lies only in following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we fail to understand is, what is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Until and unless we understand the meaning of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be able to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for as long as we fail to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will neither acquire success in this world nor in the hereafter. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, "Kunna adilla." We were wretched. Nobody wanted to know us. We were drowned in disgrace. Kunna adilla. A'azzana Allahu bil Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us honor, dignity, respect through His deen, Islam. فَمَهْمَا ابْتَغَيْنَا الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَا اللَّهُ بِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. This announcement that we hear over and over again, these statements that we hear over and over again, Umar radiyallahu anhu has made the same statement approximately 1400 years ago. كُنَّا أَذِلَّةَ. We had no respect. We had no dignity. We had no honor. What gave us dignity? What gave us honor? What gave us respect? أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam, elevated our status.
And he further says, فَمَهْمَا إِبْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. For as long as we seek dignity through venues, through ways, through avenues, through paths, other than the path through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us dignity, that is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. This is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will disgrace the whole ummah. إِنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. There is only one path to success. That is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Islam. For as long as the ummah looks for success in paths other than Islam, other than the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ, the ummah will remain disgraced. Nobody will be able to help the ummah. Nobody will be able to elevate the position of the ummah. Nobody will be able to elevate the status of the ummah. There is only one way of success, that is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Muslim ummah is facing any difficulty in any part of the world, it is because the Muslim ummah as a whole has forsaken the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first problem of the Muslim ummah. And the Muslim ummah, in order to elevate itself and to remove these difficulties, will have to look for the solution to this problem. And the solution is very simple. Learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly and follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly. Islam means submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deen, if we follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His help will come. Aaj bhi ho jo Ibrahim sa ima paida. Aaj bhi ho jo Ibrahim sa ima paida. If today we work on our iman and make our iman like the iman of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we make our iman like the iman of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar Farooq, Usman Ghani, Ali radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Total trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, total faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This belief that only that can happen in this world what Allah wills. Only that can happen what Allah wills. He controls the profit and the loss of this world. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ لَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Ibn Abbas, believe this wholeheartedly without a shadow of doubt, that if the whole nation, each and every individual living on the surface of this universe wishes to cause you an atom of benefit, very little benefit, لَنْ يَنْفَعُكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one can give you benefit. وَأَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَذُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَنْ يَذُرُّكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. And Ibn Abbas believed this wholeheartedly, without a shadow of doubt, that if the whole nation wishes to cause you harm, they cannot cause you harm. They cannot cause you the slightest of harm without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This yaqeen, this belief. And if this yaqeen and this belief is intact in the heart of a person, and if a person wholeheartedly believes that it is only Allah who can cause loss, it is only Allah who can cause profit. إِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِذُرِّن فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ إِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِذُرِّن فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes and decides to cause you harm, then nobody can remove this harm from you. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to honor you with goodness, with khair, with peace of mind, with tranquility of the heart, فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. Nobody can remove that fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from you. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ذَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. The greatest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is being instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي ذَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. I can neither remove any pain from myself, neither bring profit to myself without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي ذَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. This yaqeen, if this yaqeen is built, if this yaqeen is within our hearts and minds, then each person will endeavor to try to please the Creator. The one who is looking for a cure to his illness will also try to please the Creator, because he believes that the cure will only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I make him happy, then he will create the means for my speedy recovery. If we are looking for halal sustenance, and if we are struggling with our finances, then if we believe that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls everything, then we will first try to please him. First we will try to please him, because we will know that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will open the doors of success for me. This was the condition of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their iman was firm, their belief was firm, their yaqeen was firm. And because the belief was firm, their only goal was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they knew that because Allah controls the whole universe, if I please him, then Allah will grant me all the goodnesses in this world and the hereafter. If I please him, Allah will save me from every calamity of this world and the hereafter. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. If the whole world is in our favor, but if Allah is not in our favor, we cannot gain any benefit whatsoever. We need to instill this yaqeen in our hearts, my friends. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. If you are not mine, then nothing is mine. Tu ek mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. If you are mine, everything is mine. The earth is mine and the heavens are mine. Friends, this is the greatest problem of the ummah. Greatest problem of the ummah. Iman is weak, belief is weak, yaqeen is weak, trust in Allah is not firm. Reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fragile. And if yaqeen is weak, if trust in Allah is fragile, then a'mal will definitely be weak. A'mal is based on the yaqeen. A'mal is based on the iman. If the foundation of iman and yaqeen is weak, then the a'mal will definitely be weak. Aaj bhi ho jo Ibrahim sa ima paida. If our iman was firm like the iman of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then our a'mal would have immediately changed. And if our a'mal were according to the wishes of the Creator, aaj bhi ho jo Ibrahim sa ima paida, aag kar sakti hai andaaz-e gulista paida. Then even today, the fire can become a garden for us. Even today. Fizaye badr paida kar, farishte teri nusrat ko. Fizaye badr paida kar, create the environment of the valley of badr. create the environment of Badr. What is the meaning of this? The meaning is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Kiram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, a handful of them, 313, study the whole of Battle of Badr and try to find out what were the qualities that these people possessed when they were in the Battle of Badr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite all the promises by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the night, is in sometimes in sajda, sometimes in ruku, sometimes stretching his arms, and he is supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, grant me nusra. Oh Allah, grant me success. Allahumma intahlik hadihi al-isaba, la tu'bad fil ardi abada." Oh Allah, these handful of sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, that have come out with me in this expedition, they should not perish tomorrow. If they perish tomorrow, there will be nobody who will worship you on the surface of this earth. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِسْتَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. What was it that brought the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Battle of Badr? Number one, Iman and Yaqeen. Imanan yaqeen, wa idh ya'idukum Allahu ihda at-ta'ifatayn annaha lakum wa tawadduna anna ghayra dhati ash-shawkati takunu lakum. Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, despite being less in number, ill equipped, were prepared to face a well equipped force of 1000, because they had the yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that success comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First thing that this group of Sahaba with their Amir Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had was complete Iman, complete Yaqeen and trust and faith in the Creator. This was the first thing. And number two, Amal-e-Saliha, firmly sticking to the principles of the Sharia. A few Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in are traveling from the direction of Makkah Mukarrama towards Medina Munawwara, unaware of the situation in Badr. They are arrested by the forces of the disbelievers. They are brought to Abu Jahl. "Where are you going?" "We are going to Medina Munawwara." "You are going to Medina Munawwara to join Muhammad?" "Yes, we are going to Medina Munawwara to join Muhammad." "You cannot go. Because at the moment we are at war with Muhammad. And if we let you loose, that will increase the numbers of the Muslims. We cannot let you go." So these people said, "We only wish to join Muhammad, but we make a promise to you that we will not join the Muslim forces. We make a promise to you." Abu Jahl said, "You make a promise to me? A firm promise?" They said, "Yes, firm promise." They are let loose. They come and they join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed of the incident that had just occurred a few minutes ago, a few moments ago. And on one side, well-equipped force of 1,000 people. On the other side, ill-equipped force of only 313. Every new member was very valuable. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the incident, he said, "You cannot take part in the battle, because it is incumbent for you to fulfill the promise that you have made with Abu Jahl." Iman was there, yaqeen was there, amal-e-saleh was there. What does Allah want from us at this precise moment? Allah wishes that we fulfill our promise, so we must fulfill our promise. Because the battle will not be won with numbers. The battle will be won with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the yaqeen. It will be won with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If through disobedience our numbers increase, if through disobedience our resources increase, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not come. The help of Allah will only come if we obey Him. These sahaba watched the battle. They did not take part in the battle. So iman was there, yaqeen was there, and amal-e-saliha. amal is ali. Whatever the circumstances, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majmain, our Salafi Salihin, our pious predecessors, the Anbiya Alihi Musalatu Wassalam, always used to ask this question before doing anything: what does my Creator want at this precise moment? What does my Creator want at this precise moment? If I disobey my Creator and make a profit of millions, and if I obey my Creator and make a loss of millions, I am prepared to make the loss of millions, and I give preference to the loss of millions over the profit of millions, but I cannot sacrifice the command of my Creator. This was the yaqeen. This was the yaqeen, because they knew that if I sacrifice this million now, these millions now, then the Creator who controls the whole universe will grant me more profit than what I would have acquired through his disobedience. Fizai Badr paida kar, create the environment of the battle of Badr. Iman and Yaqeen, number one. Number two, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Imam Zainul Abidin, rahimahullah ta'ala, the grandson of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu, the son of Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was once performing wudu, and the slave was asked to bring water in a clay made bowl or pitcher. He brought the water and the utensil fell from his hands. As soon as the pitcher fell, it broke. And the water splashed on the clothes of Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullahu ta'ala with the soil, and his clothes became dirty. And as soon as this happened, anger appeared on the face of Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullahu ta'ala. It was natural. It was natural to become angry. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, La taghdab, do not become angry. Anger is no good. La taghdab. A sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked, O Messenger of Allah, grant me advice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taghdab. Don't get angry. So he said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me another advice. So he said, La taghdab. Don't get angry. So he said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me another advice. He said, La taghdab. The sahabi narrating said, Faraddada miraran. This questioner kept on questioning, and every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to say, La taghdab. Do not become angry. Do not become angry. What does it mean? It means that when you become angry inside, do not let that anger make you do something that is not pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not mean that you do not become angry. If you do not become angry, anger is a very good quality. Anger is a good... If you do not become angry, how will you safeguard the honor of your wife? If you do not become angry, how will you push out the thief from your house? If you do not become angry, how will you be able to safeguard your home? How will you be able to safeguard your wealth? Do not become angry means, when you become angry, just calm down, cool down, and question yourself that my anger is demanding this particular action from me. Is it in accordance with the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it is in accordance with the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carry it out. If it is not, then refrain from it. Refrain, I have become angry and my anger demands that I hold him by the throat. My anger demands that I kill him. My anger demands that I disgrace him. My anger demands that I swear at him. I use vulgar language at him. Is this permissible for me? If it is not permissible, then inside feel angry. No problem. But control the demands of that anger. So Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala became angry. And he was a very pious personality, so he would have controlled his anger because he knew how to control the anger. But it was obvious for the slave to become scared. So the slave knew that my master fully follows the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, Oh, my master Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal kadhimin al ghayz. He recited the verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal kadhimin al ghayz. Jannat has been prepared for those people who are muttaqeen. And who are the muttaqeen? Who are the muttaqeen? The muttaqeen are those who have this quality, who have this quality, who have this quality, who have this quality. One quality is wal qadhimin al ghayz, those who control their anger. So the slaves of those times were also knowledgeable people. He exactly knew what to recite when his master became angry. So he said, oh my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal qadhimin al ghayz. Jannat is prepared for the muttaqeen, and muttaqeen are those people who do not become angry, who control their anger. So Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala immediately said, qazam tu ghayzi, I have controlled my anger. So he said, oh my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, wal afina anin nas. Jannah has been prepared for those people who forgive people. So Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala said, afautu anka, I have forgiven you. So he said, oh my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who do good. So he said, anta hurrun liwajhillah, I have freed you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the moment of anger, how firm they were as far as the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were concerned. Allahu Akbar. Wal qazimin al ghayz, immediately I have controlled my anger. Wal afina anin nas, I have forgiven you. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who do good. Who do good. So he said, I have freed you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Freeing a slave in those times was like spending £100,000 or £200,000 or £500,000 instantly on the spot in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a very valuable commodity. So number one, iman and yaqeen. And number two, amal-e-saliha. And number three, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the environment of Badr. So the poet says, Fizaye Badr paida kar, farishte teri nusrat ko utar sakte hain gardu mein, qatar andar qatar abbi. If you create the environment of the battle of Badr, if you inculcate in yourself the qualities of the participants of the Badr, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain, then even today and right now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open the doors of help, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam can descend with a force of malaika just as they did in the battle of Badr. Fizai Badr paida kar farishte teri nusrat ko utar sakte hain gardon mein qatar andar qatar rabbi. So Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Azzan Allah bil Islam. Allah has granted us honor through Islam. Islam, deen, success lies in deen. Success of this world lies in deen. Success of the hereafter lies in deen. Individual success lies in deen. Success of the whole ummah lies in deen. Success in public life lies in deen. Success in private life lies in deen. Every type of success lies in deen. And what is deen? Islam is deen. So, success lies in Islam. Azan Allahu bil Islam. Allah has granted us honor through Islam. And what is Islam? What is Islam? What is the definition of deen? Performing 5 times salat regularly only. Until yesterday I was not performing namaz, now I am performing namaz regularly. Until yesterday I did not grow a beard, now I have a beard. Until yesterday my wife was not in hijab, now she is in hijab. Until yesterday I was watching television, I used to go to cinema, now I don't. 5, 10, 15 items have changed in your life, so you have become a Muslim. 10, 15, 20 items have changed in your life, so you begin to think to yourself that now I am following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not deen. This is not deen. Deen, Islam, submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of our lives. In aqaid, we are bound by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our aqaid will be according to the aqaid taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In ibadat, in worship, in devotion. We are bound by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are bound by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ibadat will only bear fruit in the code of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they are in accordance to His wishes. Our muamalat, our transactions, our dealings has to be in accordance to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our muasharat, our social life, how we behave with our wife, how we behave with our husband, how we behave with our parents, how we behave with our neighbor, how we behave with a Muslim, how we behave with a non-Muslim, we are not free to do what we feel like doing. All instructions has been given to the Ummah by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our muasharat, our social life has to be in accordance with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our akhlaq, morals, our characters, they have to be in accordance with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If our aqaid, if our ibadat, if our muamalat, if our muasharat and if our husn akhlaq, all five branches of the sharia are 100% in accordance with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only we can claim to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is only then that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dukhulu fis silme kaffa. O you who believe, enter into Islam in its totality. In its totality. Full. The more you enter into Islam, the more deendar you will become. The more better Muslim you will become. He is a Muslim because he has submitted his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected Imam Sahib is also a Muslim. This brother is also a Muslim. This brother is also Muslim. This brother is also Muslim. We have five Muslims. He is Muslim. 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 But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their categories are different. The categories are different. He is performing five times salat regularly. But he is not fasting in the month of Ramadan. And Maulana is performing five times salat regularly and he is also fasting in the month of Ramadan. As far as I am concerned, he is a Muslim. He is a Muslim. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maulana is 100% Muslim. This brother is only 50% Muslim. If we take the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the time we wake up in the morning until we go to sleep, when we are in private life, when we are in public, we are not free to do what we want. We are under the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will only be able to claim to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we fully submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only come if the ummah as a whole submits to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I submit to the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I alone in this whole community submit 100% to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the whole community does not submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will not grant us collective success. Allah will grant me individual success only. That is why those very pious people who live throughout the world, our pious akabir, our elders, because deen is 100% in their lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them peace of mind. Allah ta'ala has granted them tranquility of the heart. Allah ta'ala has granted them so much respect, so much honor, that each person strives just to see that particular buzurg. I want to see him. I've heard a lot about him, but I want to see him. I wish I can only shake hand with him for just 2 minutes. I wish I can sit in his company for 5 minutes. Any person who individually follows the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant him individual success. But in order to acquire the collective success of the ummah, like the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in, so the ummah as a whole have to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where the problem lies, my friends. And we need to begin to learn Islam first. Majority of us do not know the whole deen. We buy a house, we sell a house. Do we ask anybody? Do we ask a mufti? Do we contact a alim? That I'm selling this house and my Muslim brother is buying this house from me and he is attaching this condition in the transaction. Is it permissible for him to make this condition? Is it permissible for me to sell this house when he is making this condition? Do we ever ask a mufti? We have learned how to perform wudu. We have performed how to do istinja. We have learned how to perform 5 times salat. We have learned how to perform 4 rakat, 2 rakat, 3 rakat. We have learned these masail. But have we learned the masail of dealings and transactions? Every day we go to the shop and buy from the local supermarket. Do we know whether we are making this transaction in accordance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are buying a fridge and freezer with a 5-year guarantee attached to it. Or we are giving £100 extra for another 5 years guarantee. Do we ask a mufti whether it is permissible or not? And then we claim to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My friends, we are all deceiving ourselves. فَسَوْفَ تَرَى إِذَنْ كَشَفَ الْغُبَارُ أَفَرَسٌ تَحْتَ رِجْلِكَ أَمْ حِمَارُ. A person is sitting on a donkey and he is feeling very proud that I am sitting on a horse because he is covered with dust from all 4 sides. He is traveling with a group, with a caravan, and everybody is on a horse and he is on a donkey, he is on a mule, and he is feeling proud that I have got an Arabian horse which is very, very, very fast and very speedy and very expensive. So the poet says, فَسَوْفَ تَرَى إِذَنْ كَشَفَ الْغُبَارُ. When this dust is removed, then only you will know whether you are sitting on a horse or on a donkey. On the day of Qiyamah, my friends, when we will stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us, an umurihi fima afna, how did you spend your life? وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَى, how did you spend your youth? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَهُ, where did you earn your wealth from? وَفِي مَا أَنْفَقْ, and where did you spend your wealth? وَأَمَّا عَمِلَ فِي مَا عَلِمْ, and how much did you practice what you knew? It is only then we will know whether we were riding a horse or a donkey. Think, my friends, think. Think and be very, very serious. Be very, very serious. I am firstly speaking to myself because I am also in need of these advices. Alhamdulillah, through the barakah of my spiritual mentors and my elders, when I speak, I do not speak with the intention of rectifying the condition of the people who are sitting in front of me. My intention is that through speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me the opportunity to reflect on my life also. And I will be able to assess my life, I will be able to check my life and see where I am going wrong. And at the same time, whilst doing a favor to myself, I will be doing a favor to all those who are sitting in front of me also. We all need to be serious, my friends. Because when we depart from this world and when we go into the grave, nobody is going to come with us. On the day of Qiyamah, Maulana Yusuf will have no respect for me whatsoever if my amal are not correct. Nobody will have no respect whatsoever. Nobody will have. Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned regarding the future of each and every human. The future of the hereafter. Imagine how much he must have felt for his own daughter. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Fatimatu, Salini mimma li mashiti, fa inni la ugni anki min Allahi shay'a. O Fatima, ask me for whatever you want in this world. If you want dinar, ask from me. If you want dirhams, ask from me. If you want clothes, ask from me. I will take loan, I will take qarz, I will borrow money from somebody. I will be able to fulfill all your needs in this world. But if you are complacent and if you are thinking to yourself that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will grant me entry into Jannah because I am the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, then nobody will make a mistake more bigger than you, because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take decision according to our amal. O Fatima, I will not be fa'inni la ugni anki min Allahi shayya. O Fatima, I will not be able to help you in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Fatima. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to Fatima, O Fatima, take care of yourself. Look after your well-being in the hereafter. We will all depart from this world, my friends. We will all depart. Haven't we seen our relatives, our friends, dying in their final moments? When they cannot speak, they are looking at us. They want to tell us something. And we are just standing there, looking at his helplessness and feeling helpless ourselves. We don't know whether he's going through some kind of pain, whether he is thirsty, whether he is hungry. What does he want to say? He is just staring at us. He cannot utter a single word. He cannot utter a single word. The doctors are unable to help him. The friends are unable to help him. The parents are unable to help. The children are unable to help. Nobody can help. Now he is on his own. Then he will depart from this world. He will go into the grave. In the grave, nobody will be there. Mar Rabbuka, who is your Rabb? Ma dinuka, what is your religion? Ma taqulu fi hadar rajul. Ma taqulu fi hadar rajul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove all the veils between his qabr and the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he will be granted the opportunity to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the angel will ask him, do you know this man? Who is this man? If his life was in accordance with the wishes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will immediately recognize and he will say that my Rabb is Allah, my deen is Islam, and this is my beloved Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody will come there, my friends. Nobody will come. And I am just asking you to reflect upon those funerals that you attend. Reflect upon those funerals that you attend. When we are waiting for the janaza to take place, what do you see in the Qabrastan? How many people do you see concerned about the fate of this person who will be entering his grave in the next 20 minutes? How many people, my friends? It is a very, very sad situation. Very sad situation. My late father, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say, he used to tell me that my son, I am going through very dire financial circumstances because we were 10 brothers and sisters and he was the only breadwinner in the home and he was the imam. And in 1973, his income was only 15 pounds per week. So he said that my son, I am going through dire financial circumstances. I have a lot of debt on my head. And if I send you to college, if I send you to university, the education will be free. So I will have no burden on my head. And if I send you to Darul Uloom, then I will have to pay your fees. And after you graduate from Darul Uloom, then I am not expecting you to support me financially because your pay will be very less, just as my pay is very less. And if I let you go to college, university, and you may become a graduate, then you will bring some earning which will support me in this world. But my late father used to say that somehow I will bear all the difficulties and leave this world. But what will happen to me when I go in the grave if I have done nothing for my grave? So I am making you an alim. So I am making you an alim and I am giving all the sacrifices that I have to as far as this world is concerned. If after I go in the grave, you do not follow the deen of Allah and you do not do the khidmat of deen, then I have lost this world and the hereafter as well. Do not forget me, my son. Do not forget me. I am giving all these sacrifices so that your efforts can benefit me in the grave. Your efforts can benefit me in the hereafter. These are the people of understanding who understand that nobody will be able to do anything for us once we are in the grave. Nobody. Before the janaza, everybody is talking. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Salatul janaza is finished. Nowadays, more than half people leave the Qabrastan. More than half people. And the other portion that remains behind, again talking about business, about weddings, about worldly affairs, nobody thinks about that person who is going in the grave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that once the Salatul Janazah is performed and the coffin is raised, and the person is not a person who has done any good in this world, then that person says that ila aina tuqaddimuni, ila aina tuqaddimuni, where are you taking me, where are you taking me, where are you taking me? That person is screaming in that coffin, and all his relatives, all his friends are engrossed in worldly affairs. We have no time to think about what is going to happen. We are more concerned about a visitor passing through his immigration in India and Pakistan and in Saudi Arabia when he goes for Hajj, than the concern that we have for somebody passing through his grave. When somebody goes to India, we are restless and we phone each other. Has he phoned? Any message? Any news? Has he gone through okay? Has he reached the destination okay? But as far as the person in the grave is concerned, we are talking. And when they are placing him in the grave, we are talking. Once he is placed in the grave, we are talking. When the imam raises his hands to make the dua for his success, even at that time it is only a customary dua. Ameen, 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 without any significance in mind. And as soon as the dua is over, everybody is out. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, if I am correct, he gathered his sons together and he said, "Oh my sons, when you bury me, I will be in another world which I am not used to." A sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, regarding whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the asharai mubashara who was given the glad tidings of Jannah by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Oh my sons, when you put me in the grave and when you have completed my burial, then remember I will be in another world. And the visitors who will come to me, Munkar Nakir, they will be new for me. So do not leave me immediately, stand on my grave for a while." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, stand on my grave for a while. "For how long will you stay on my grave? I will tell you. How long does it take to hold a camel, to slaughter a camel, to skin the camel, to make its pieces and distribute the meat? How long does it take?" He said to his sons that stay for that duration on my grave, so that I get used to the newcomers, and then you may leave my grave. Friends, just think for a minute. I tell my associates that think for a moment, this masjid in Darleston, how large is this hole? Very large hole. If it was closed from all four sides, and if this hole was pitch dark, and if we were told that there is a very small scorpion sitting in that corner, and we are in this corner, and we were told that you have to spend half an hour in this darkness with that scorpion in this room, how frightful that moment will be for us. We will be put in the grave, a few yards down, only a few feet wide, and nobody will remember us. Only our a'mal will come with us. On the day of Qiyamah, only our a'mal will come with us. On the Pul Sirat, only our a'mal will come with us. I urge all of you, my friends, to be very, very firm in regard to following the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whole deen of Allah. Make a firm resolution today. These programs that we attend are not only for entertainment. These programs are not only to acquire the reward. We have sat for 1 hour, we have been granted reward, and end of the story. No, my friends. Whatever the speaker is saying, that is a mirror for all of us. Let us look at our lives in the mirror of what he is saying. And whatever dirt that we find on the faces of our lives, let us try to clean those dirt so that we become beautiful spiritually. And we are able to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So let us again repeat the statement which Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala said, Kunna adilla, we were wretched. A'azzan Allahu bil Islam. Allah has granted us dignity through Deen Islam. فَمَهْمَا إِبْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. For as long as we seek success and respect and honor through ways other than the way Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us nothing but disgrace. And that is what the Muslim Ummah is experiencing today. Nothing but disgrace, nothing but disgrace, nothing but disgrace. It is because the Ummah is not prepared to wholeheartedly accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Ummah is not wholeheartedly ready to become a 100% Muslim. Let us make a firm resolution that from today we are going to strive and we are going to endeavor to become good Muslims. Not only good Muslims according to our thinking, but good Muslims according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined for us. Let us make a firm resolution. Let us read books authored by authentic, reliable ulama, our pious predecessors. Let us sit in the gatherings of the ulama. Let us participate in the lectures that take place from this mimbar in Urdu, in English, whichever language we understand. Let us sit in the durus of the Quran that take place in this masjid. Let us also travel to nearby localities and try to benefit from whatever programs that are taking place. Let us also spend some time with our tablighi brothers. Wherever we learn deen, let us go. As long as it is pure, authentic and reliable teaching, as passed on to us by our pious predecessors, as passed on to us by our reliable akabir. And let us learn, and with learning, let us practice, let us implement. Make a list of things that we are not doing. Make a list of things that we are doing. Let us check this list every day. Let us make a firm resolution that this week, from Monday to Sunday, I have 7 days. Within 7 days, I must bring this thing in my life. There is a list of 20 things which I am supposed to be doing and I am not doing. Inshallah, I will do. Inshallah, I will do. That day will never come. Halakal musawwifun. There is a hadith that those people who say, I will do tomorrow, I will do this tomorrow, they have perished, because that will never happen. This is the tactic of shaitan. Shaitan will never bring this thought in our minds that I am never going to do this. He makes you feel very good that, oh, I am very, very sincere, and at least I've got remorse, and at least I'm regretting. So inshallah, day will come when I will definitely practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Make a list of all the things that we are supposed to do and we are not doing. Make a list of all the things that we are doing which we are not supposed to be doing. And let us make targets. We go for Umrah. Let us make a target that this Umrah should make at least some change in my life. I should go back with at least 2 changes, with 3 changes, and Ramadan al-Mubarak is coming. This Ramadan al-Mubarak should bring at least 10 changes in my life, at least 5 changes in my life. Slowly, slowly, friends, if we will endeavor to become perfect Muslims, if we will endeavor to become 100% Muslims, if we will endeavor to become good Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely help. And if we individually become 100% Muslims, Allah will grant us individual success. And if as a whole ummah we become 100% Muslims, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the same success and same honor that he granted the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmeen.